Honorable Brink. Good morning,
Morning,
Honorable Spies. I want to greet you, Honorable Pritika Banchava. Good morning, Princess Buthelezi. And good morning, Honorable Hornevat. I've mentioned Honorable Spies already. Honorable Mpumza, I heard you. You are here. Good morning.
Morning, morning, Chair.
Yeah, I think we are full house. And good morning, the DG Temba Fosi. I've already greeted Mr. Mulayaki, and also good morning, Zamogwala. And good morning, Wombulelo and others. Yeah? Good morning, all of you. Let me also greet you, Fukani. Good morning to you, too. Let's start our meeting. The apologies that I'm having today, it's for the minister who's in cabinet. Mam Kize is here, although she has got the sore throat. If we hear no talking, you must understand that she has got the sore throat, but she's with us. I've got all the written apologies from the DG and the minister. So they are good. So we are fine. Let's proceed. I want to upfront thank our FALGA colleagues. Whenever we call them, they are available. We couldn't proceed on the report on the disaster because the issue wanted us to be proactive. We shouldn't wait because in other parts of the country, it's still raining. Some people don't have access roads. It includes your kids now that they've reopened. Some can't go to school, understanding our rural setup. Then we decided that because the National Disaster Management Center, as you've heard the DM earlier, that they're still briefing cabinet, then we can shelve that meeting to a later date. Then we felt today we must dedicate this session on small town regeneration and local economic development, which to all of us has been long overdue. You could have made several observations last week when we interacted with the Giani local municipality. And I think we are all in agreement that we need to look at this matter. Over the year and a half, our predominant focus has been on service delivery patterns, service delivery matters. We also observed that municipalities have been following a similar pattern, putting emphasis on service provision and treating local economic development as an afterthought. The reality is that an isolated focus on municipal service delivery is not sustainable in the long term if there's no vibrant economy to support it. Unless the growing number of poor and unemployed get access to productive employment, you could have observed wherever you are those long queues in the post office when people go to queue for that support grant of 350. So I think we have the view that it's high time that unless these poor people get access to productive employment, the scale and cost of service delivery will not be financially viable in the future. We are all aware that the South African economy has been unable to create enough employment opportunities to absorb the rapidly expanding labor force into the labor market. The other issue that I feel is very critical as we engage on this matter. We must all therefore recall that one of the objectives of local government in terms of Section 152(1)(c) of the Constitution is to promote both social and economic development. Our developmental state can only thrive if there is a healthy balance between economic development and social development. The two colleagues will agree with me, they are more interdependent. poor growth erodes the municipality's economic base, which in turn results in service delivery deficiencies such as poor roads and erratic power and water supply due to inability to service the debt owed to Eskom and water beds. It's a pity our meeting yesterday got postponed. The other colleagues were so tired, but these are some of the issues that also affect us directly. There's also a need, colleagues, for a renewed focus on revitalizing the local economy, including the regeneration of small towns, provision of meaningful support to private enterprises, and the promotion of a culture of user payment for municipality services. We are concerned that some municipalities are not taking their local economic development mandate seriously and are not helping to foster an enabling environment conducive to growth and job creation. This is why today we are initiating a series of vigorous interaction on local economic development. I should think we must also, Salga and yourself, department, help us where in their model, municipalities that can come and share their best practices. But I'm still to hear that personally. I'm still to hear that. Can we allow Councillor Stofile, Shirin, and Andile to get into the meeting? Because this is what I wanted him to hear, but I'll raise it. He's struggling to get into the meeting. I was still saying that we hope that that's why today we're initiating a series of this vigorous interaction on local economic development, starting with the issue of small town regeneration. We hope that this interaction will go a long way in balancing the emphasis on access to basic services against the imperative to raise the rates and quality of local economic development as to increase the levels of formal participation in the economy. So I just want to welcome you all, colleagues. And I know on our part, these are matters that are very close to our hearts. And we hope Salga will assist greatly in trying to help us understand the status of these matters of local economic development. But moving forward, like I said earlier, we'll ask DCOC if there's any other model municipality that you can maybe share with us, so that they come and also share with us their best practices. Because so far, so good. So far, what one observed, our municipality only, they are focusing on service delivery, even though that service delivery is also wanting. Because we all know on the status of services in our municipalities, theirs is only collection of rates, but they don't bother to check who to empower these ones that must pay for those rates and services. Let me welcome you, Deputy Minister. I believe I've prompted you to say just a foreword before we allow Salga and the political principal to log in. Is he in already? Councillor Stofile? Not yet.
Yes,
yeah, he's here. Sir. Finally. Finally. You missed my intro, but I think you'll catch up with time. You'll hear how Deputy Minister Bapela responds on how I was challenging you colleagues earlier. But the fact remains, there's a need for renewed focus on revitalization of the local economy. You look at this long queue, Councillor Stofile, of people queuing for those support grants. That tells you, and these are the people living in municipalities. That's why I'm saying in future, you in particular must share best practice of any of your constituency who's doing good in terms of local economic development. Over to you, Deputy Minister, before I hand over to Councillor Stofile to introduce the subject to us.
Thank you, Chairperson.
Yes, sorry, Chairperson.
Hello.
No, don't. What's wrong? You text or raise your hand instead of interjecting, honorable. Raise your hand or write something on the text thing.
Okay. You are here. Yes, Chairperson, I just want to inform you that I'm still as the doctor.
Yeah, you could send the WhatsApp, ne?
Okay.
So, get well. Get well, Mato.
What is the
mute your microphone.
Thank you, Chairperson, Mem Tambi, and all members of the Portfolio Committee, officials from the Bicok, by DDG for CBS just arrived, and then also all the officials of SALGA. I think you have really pointed that issues that we need to follow up with, and I think by the time you spoke, DDG4C was already listening that the best practice model that exists, if any, in any of the municipalities that we have, which we can take as a lesson, that we can then share the good practice in terms of small town regeneration. Can we bring it forward? I think we'll then identify those and we can choose one that we can then bring forward to say there are indeed regeneration in their small towns. The towns, as you will know, that the most of the towns were built long time ago, 100 years ago, not built a new town ever since democracy. The cities, I mean, have not yet built a new city since democracy. So the regeneration, it means we regenerate what exists and expand on what is there, because the population growth has also gone up in most of those particular areas that necessitate the regeneration of towns and hence the expansion. So roads, obviously, in quite a number of municipalities in all those small towns that are funding, and therefore new nodes now in democracy. We need to appreciate that work because they are there to serve the growing population, to deal with poverty, unemployment, and inequality. And we hope, therefore, that towns are growing and being regenerated, will also at some point start building new towns, because in the rural areas in the main, they are going to be still dependent on towns for them to really to not migrate to their cities and then come and look for a good life. We need really to begin to look at building new towns, not just only focusing on as is the program now. And secondly, which is the last point, Chair, I agree with you that the local economic development is one of the anchors that we have uplifted in the department. Quite a number of municipalities do have this structure in the municipality. However, it's not well capacitated, it's not well staffed with strategic people, whose cases used the dumping area for those who are not faithful to the powers that be. And then you find that they just give you a desk and they call it the LED, and that LED is not doing anything. So as COGTA, we have uplifted it as one of the critical issues in the economic recovery program that the president had announced post-COVID, now and then post-COVID. And then we are now engaging with municipalities, with the MECs, to say the LED must really be brought up, because for the economy to be revived and the economy to be rebuilt and then to be recovered, we just need municipalities to be the center spaces where the economy is going to be growing, so that the opportunities that comes with economy that will rise from post-COVID should be at the level of municipalities, with municipalities alive and active, enabling an environment that attracts investments, also roads in good conditions, and then sewers being dealt with, water supply being a constant issue, because the factories are to be built in this particular area. This is what all these people want. Communication must be improved in our networks, so that then indeed investments can be attracted. So LEDs have a role to play, and a very big role, including contributing to the growth of the small businesses, so that the bylaws that are there, we ought to look at and review the bylaws to enable those who want to play in the space, in selling whatever they want to steal in designated areas in the cities, in an organized, orderly, not in a manner in which everybody just walk on the street and sell. So if municipalities do not have these LEDs, then the cities and then the towns regeneration becomes a vital exercise if the bylaws are not also reviewed really to accommodate the growth of emerging small, medium businesses, those who people who just want a space in the city or in the town to come and sell whatever they sell, and then be given the conducive environment that goes with dignity, respect, so that even those who buy can then buy from people who are clean people, the area that is clean, that the municipality is taking care of. So I think you are right. Let me just stop there to say, we'll then also be bringing a report around the strategies that are there towards the reinvigoration of the LEDs in all municipalities. Thank you.
Thank you so much, DM Wapela, for that intro. Welcome, Councillor Tofine. And can we, I hand over to you, Mr. Mulaki, and what is this, Zamugwala, that's been here. You can introduce and then you tell us who's going to make the presentation.
The house will not be able to join us because they are on their way to Rustenburg, launching a big project tomorrow called Invest Rural. So that is why they are not able to attend this meeting today. My apologies.
I see, because that's what I wanted to, because these things, they are, like I said, they cut across Invest Rural and regeneration of towns. The same thing, because when we talk about our towns, the majority of them are rural ones. Okay. Proceed. Yeah, we'll find another time to also engage with them on this matter. Over to you, Councillor Tofile.
Thank you very much, Chair. And let us, as South African Local Government Association, appreciate the opportunity given to us, and really thank the Portfolio Committee under the sixth administration to force us to focus on real matters that affect communities in our country. And of course, since the establishment of the new parliament or sixth administration, we have seen a very encouraging focus from the Portfolio Committee of Cooperative Governance and Traditional Affairs dealing with matters that affect the municipalities and thereby communities.
Councillor Tofile, I'll be doing injustice. Maybe we are speaking to a ghost. Mkalipi will want to just see your face because it's a new year. Then you can switch it off again.
I think I can be seen now. I know Councillor Mkalipi, you have seen her friend Hadebe with age, and I've seen that he's in the meeting.
Oh, he's also in the meeting. Okay, thank you. Proceed. Then I see your background is not that good, but you can see we're not talking to a ghost. We are fine. Let's proceed. You can see it all.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Thank you very much, ma'am. I think to me and to the association, what is interesting most on the work that has been done by the Portfolio Committee is to pull all resources and all energies towards focusing to the impact that can be done on the real life of our people. And indeed, people live in communities, lives in wards, lives in streets, and lives in areas where service deliveries had to be expedited and had to be rendered. And thereby, the economy, for it to thrive, it must benefit those citizens and communities that are living in those areas. And for this reason, then, that is why, as an association, we really appreciate the work and of course the focus of the committee in helping us going through. And our understanding is that we can only succeed as local government if all of us we accept to partner and work together in rendering service to our people. And we are seeing that is coming out very clear. And you'll note in our presentation that is going to be made later on, either by Michelle or whoever that is part of our team. The effort and relations that we have built over time between ourselves and Department of Cooperative Governance and Traditional Affairs, because our understanding as an association, municipalities will never succeed being isolated in a particular corner and expected to produce miracles without assistance from other spheres of government, being provincial and national. And in this case, COGTA at least has been playing what we expected them to play in terms of coordinating, in terms of engaging various stakeholders insofar as focus into the real issues that are affecting our communities. You'll know, Chair, over 50% of the populace in South Africa are staying or living in a small towns throughout the country, which expect a serious investment of energy resources, both human and financial resources, and making some strides in changing their conditions. It's a matter that as government of the day, it had to focus at, and Parliament of the people had to focus at. And that is why we appreciate and really very happy of the issues and the focus of the portfolio committee. So today we'll be focusing on the heartbeat of the real transformation, on the heartbeat of the life of ordinary citizen who seated somewhere in the corner, in the periphery, expecting a government of the day and the leaders that have been elected either in parliament or in council to come up with ideas in addressing the quagmire that they face as society from time to time, more in particular as we face the coronavirus pandemic in South Africa today. It put more strains and more challenges to local government because local government, we see it as fit, that is walking on the street, that is closer to the people, that is expected to render service, and you can only do that with a cooperative way of doing it. And today we'll be presenting to you and in terms of what we have been doing, and it's a very interesting and very brain-teasing program, and of course, partnering with COGTA and many other role players, and our role as an association in mobilizing and consolidating resources so that we focus to municipalities so that they are able to change their conditions. I think Chair Michiel is going to lead us or Sipho into presenting what is our perspective on the subject matter. Thank you very much and thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you, Councillor Sofile. Can I hand over to the presenter?
Yeah, morning, Chairperson. As I indicated earlier, Zamo Gwala was present, but let me just say good mornings to the Deputy Minister, Honourable Members, my NSC member, and colleagues from COGTA. I just want to reiterate the point that our NSC member made, the work that we're doing with COGTA. They are currently also reviewing the small town regeneration strategy, and it's something that is work in progress, but the DDG can talk to that, and I'm sure the portfolio committee would like to hear the work that's being done around that. You will hear in the presentation from Zamo that he'll talk about this regional approach and maybe at another portfolio committee, or if we have time today, we can spend a bit of time on the work that we're doing in the Karoo region, where we've where municipalities from a bottom-up approach initiated the collective approach of municipalities from the Karoo, and our role is then to mobilize and coordinate national and provincial government resources to support the small town regeneration. But we'll touch a little bit on that in the presentation, but that in itself is a topic, how the small town regeneration in the Karoo was initiated by the municipalities, and that has now been proclaimed a region in terms of SPLUMA. And we are convening a conference annually of those municipalities. It's 40 municipalities. And the next conference will be convened on the 18th and 19th of March, where a number of national government departments talk about support programs for municipalities with small towns in the Karoo region. I'll hand over to Zamo Gwala now to continue with the presentation. Thanks, Zamo.
Thank you, Colin. Good morning, Chair of the Committee, Deputy Minister, the honorable members of the committee, our NEC member, Councillor Stofile, and other councillors who may be present. I also noted that there's DDG Fosi present and other colleagues from the department. Greetings to everyone. So I will take you through the presentation. The aim of the presentation really is to share the work that we have been doing as SALGA in the space of small town regeneration. Chair, what I will do, because I will be presenting the principles as well as what we have learned on the ground, but I will try to not keep too much time on the presentation itself, but I think it's important that Khalid, my colleague from Western Cape, also share in detail perhaps the first-hand experience that we have had in Karoo region, because I think learning from experience is better than talking theory. Because if we really want to make a difference in our small towns, we have to learn from each other so that the mistakes that we may have made in the past can help us to learn and do better going forward. So the starting point, Chair, is that the mandate of SALGA as an association for local government is to, one, is to lobby and advocate on behalf of municipalities. When we say lobby and advocate, it might be in various sectors. I heard that the chair did mention the point. The deputy minister also mentioned the point of some of our legislations and processes that we have designed in the past with good intention, but we find that in practice, they may suffer some of the investment that we want to adopt. There are a number of examples that talk to our space of local government that we do know that at times they tend to delay the investment, and in some instances we find that the companies end up relocating elsewhere. So as SALGA, we need to be continuously able to identify such and lobby for improvements. Obviously, we are the employment body representing the employer, being the local government, and the other important block of our house is the capacity building. We aim to build the capacity at all levels, but more particularly within the municipalities, both at the political leadership as well as the officials who are doing the work, because we believe that we need to continuously improve the capacity and capability so that we are able to deliver professional work going forward. We also have a leg where we provide support and advice to our members to ensure that the work that we do is done professionally. Obviously, the knowledge management and information sharing becomes a key, that all what we share and give advice is based on research, is based on practical experience, and is not done haphazardly. So that's what informed SALGA to move into the space of a regional generation of the small cities. So we've got strategic goals. One of the key that we just wanted to highlight in this presentation is strategic goal one that relates to a number of things. It says sustainable, inclusive economic growth and spatial transformation. And obviously it's important to emphasize that point, that the economic growth and spatial transformation have to go hand in hand, because we know that in small towns, one of the reasons that we fail to see the economic growth that we are hoping for is because the development, either of the infrastructure, human settlement, and related stuff, may not be at the level that encourages economic development. So those two are so intertwined. Then moving into one of the strategic levers to support the strategic goal, we say we want to support regional economic strategies and effective land use management. And the committee will agree with me that becomes a critical input into the improvement of the smaller cities, as well as bigger cities, urban areas for that matter. So giving the background quickly to how we came into the small town regeneration as a program, which is one of the key programs within SALGA. It aims to regenerate, restore, and fulfill the economic potential of underperforming small towns. So we want to strengthen the small town economics, we want to provide a better quality of life, and we want to build and leverage on the town's existing local assets. And sitting around this committee, we all understand and appreciate the history where we come from with the smaller towns. If you look at towns that were vibrant during the mining days, but once the mine closes down, the things start to change in that town. Some of them were very good in terms of tourism, and for whatever reason, things change, and then we get what we'll define as ghost town, which is actually quite a sad reality because people are still in the town. So some of the things that happened may not have achieved the intended results. As an example, when we were merging some of the municipalities, you'll find that the administration moved from one small town to another town, and the town which was hosting the administration in the past is now left with no economic drive, as it were, because the administration, government administration, you may find that it has been a driver. So the intention here is that we go back into those towns and start to identify what else can be done, given the advantages, the comparative advantages that the town may have, as well as the natural assets. What else can be done in order for us to renew the growth and the economic growth of the town? Particularly what becomes important, because as I said, history has taught us, when we started the SALGA, we were looking at towns as individual entities. But over time, the realization was that in order for the program to be successful, it needs to cover a region. That's why I was saying earlier on in my introduction that it's important that we spend time looking at the experience of the Karoo region, because that kind of an approach becomes important when we move forward. So the problem statement is that we consolidated 1,100 local authorities that existed before 1994. And we created a current number of municipalities. Obviously, the outcome is that some of them lost the government function, as I stated before, and small towns have not grown, partly because they are bypassed by transportation system. And we know a number of towns in South Africa that we find that their economy is very reliant on a highway that is driving past the town, or in the past, it was reliant on the rail that was going through the town. But once you start diverting, you find that the town loses some of its economy. And we know that with the national roads, the idea is that if I drive from point A to point B, I'll want to get there as soon as possible. So I'll stay on the highway. So you find that the highways are then diverted away from the towns, and the towns are starting to lose their economy because of that. So we need to find a way of connecting those towns back so that they will continue to benefit. But the point that is we are emphasizing is that it needs to look beyond just the town, as we'll define it more going forward. So making a case for small town, we are saying that a lot of us in South Africa either reside or come from the rural areas. We end up moving into smaller towns or bigger cities just because that's where the economy is growing. That's where the job opportunities are. And we are saying that in some instances, you find that people move into these big cities with the hope that they will find an employment. And if they fail to find decent employment, then you find that other social challenges are starting to emerge in those urban areas. So we are saying that if we were to look back in the smaller towns and try to renew them, we may be able to absorb a number of people there, especially the youth, because the youth are looking for growth. They are looking for infrastructure, the fourth industrial revolution. We want to be able to say, even in the smallest town, I am able to do my job, I'm able to do my business because I'm well connected. And we have a few examples of small towns that have been able to renew themselves. Here there are examples of some of the tourist towns like Clarence in the Free State that has been able to renew itself, taking advantage of the beauty and the attractiveness to the tourism industrial sector. So opportunities, small towns play a pivotal role as a service center. We know that when you look at the rural areas, there's always a place where government activity is taking place and people will tend to congregate around that place and a lot of businesses start to emerge. But how do we then connect that with the bigger region? Tourism, agriculture, obviously are the two sectors that actually play a big role in that space in the rural areas. However, we want to emphasize the point that as we move forward with this program, we want to encourage other industries. We do not want to only rely on agriculture and tourism, as important as they are, but we want to be able to say whatever we produce in agriculture, there has to be a value addition, and a lot of it, the value addition must take place around the town. So slowly we are moving towards the manufacturing, which will actually increase the economic value of what that smaller town is able to contribute. So this is when the program, the SALGA program, was launched. It happened in Free State in 2015, and there were senior leaders who were there, and that's when we were reintroducing the program. I'm emphasizing the point that we're reintroducing the program because the program itself had been running, but when we had to renew it to say, now instead of looking at the notes, let's look at the regions, we had to relaunch it, and it took place in Free State. That's the journey that we have traveled since that launch. 2016, 2017, there was a recognition that a singular town intervention has legal strategic value in the greater transformation agenda. We had to adopt that. And then moving forward, we say the recognition of variance in town economics role and responses, looking at all industries, as I've mentioned in the past, and we had to align ourselves to the IUDF and the selection of some sites around the provinces also happened. So you can see that we have been moving slowly towards where we are now, starting from 2013. So the transition that I've been talking about is informed by the approach and the methodology. Look at towns as individual and cliff responded, and when requests were received from municipalities, we felt that the approach lacked some kind of coherence because individual towns were looking at themselves without taking into account what the next town has to offer. So we are saying that the regional approach sees a small town as part of a larger continuum of interdependent economic nodes that provide service to surrounding communities. Obviously, the methodology had to shift to accommodate that. Then the new approach further acknowledged that through regional planning, it is possible to attain scale economies. Because here we are looking at backward linkages. I made an example of agriculture that one town might have fertile land producing best kind of agricultural produce, and the nearest town has some sort of a manufacturing capacity and is able to get that produce, add value, do packaging, and then what comes out of the region is of greater value to the market, and that becomes very important. So in terms of the alignment of this approach, we felt that it fits in very well with the integrated urban development framework. because it encourages that kind of interdependence between rural and urban. One friend of mine said to me, have you ever driven around South Africa and saw a board that says, welcome to a rural area? There's nothing like that. But how do you know that I've now moved from the urban area into a rural area? The first thing that you will see is the change in the infrastructure. The second thing that you will see is the manner that people, the residents are located. Then you start to see that, okay, I've moved. But in the main, what those people are looking for is not different. So the IUDF emphasizing that there has to be that connection, starting from the rural village into a smaller town, into a medium-sized town, into a capital, into a city. There has to be that connection. And the regeneration is emphasizing just that. That on at the bottom, you can see that the small town regeneration tends to focus on the town itself with the surrounding rural areas. And then the city support program is looking at the medium and the urban cities, because as we emphasize the point that there is a huge interconnection, both in terms of the infrastructure development, in terms of the value addition, as well as the economic growth. So we argue that traditionally development policy has used a simplified concept of rural and urban areas, where rural refers to more remote farming areas and urban to cities. Similarly, economic activities associated with urban and rural areas have historically been viewed as mutually exclusive. This dichotomy not only distorts the reality, but also fails to address the interdependence between the two. And that's the point that Salga has been driving home when it introduces its STR, as we call it. The reality is that there is a sharp division between the two, and that's the gap that we are aiming to close. So when we select towns that will participate in our program, without trying to be exclusive, but we need to know what each town is providing or is bringing along. The first thing is that we want a phased approach where we look at the governance and institutional readiness, as well as the technical phase. It becomes important that we do that, because when we do not know the strengths and weaknesses of each of the players, it becomes difficult to get the kind of support that is required. So the institutional factors of each town that is joining the grouping becomes important for us to ensure that the governance system is quite clear. We are not saying that when we identify a region, there are towns that will necessarily be excluded, but we are interested in the point that we need to know and identify the weaknesses, the issue of the audit capacity, the issues of the engineering capacity, the issues of integrated development plan, all that have to be taken into account so that we know who we are putting together in that region. Just to emphasize the point, the regions that we are talking about at this stage where we have been able to do work, the first one is the Karoo, and we are doing Bujanala in the northwest, and we soon will be starting with one in Gauteng, where we talk about the Gauteng region. Those are the three examples where SALCA has gained experience with moving away from the nodes, but working with the regions, as it were. So that's some of the criteria in terms of the institutions that we look at. And then the technical factors that we also take into account is the economic base. It's important that we know the background to the town and say, what was it before? What can it still do now? And what could be done in the future? I think I need to perhaps spend a second emphasizing this point, that when we move into a town, you'll find that some towns, as I said before, in terms of that economic sector, that sector might be declining. And I made an example of the mine, that the mine might be scaling down. But then we say, if we renew, are we still going to go back to the mine, or are we looking for new opportunities? So it's important to know the base, so that when you do the value proposition, it's real, it's based on what this town can offer. And then you look at where the opportunities are for future. And then you look at the services that are available within that area. You look at the administrative centers around the region. You look at the connectivity between the towns within the region, and you look at the value chain as well as the economic network that is supporting. Those are the factors that we take into account when we identify those regions and the terms that will be part of that particular region. So in summary, these are the things that we look at. We look at the leadership, we look at the government structures, we look at the functioning systems, we look at the innovations, we look at the communication, because we are saying that for each town to strive, these things have to be taken into account. That's number one. Number two is that once you have been able to identify here all these issues, identify the weaknesses and the strengths, and you know that if there's any intervention, whether it comes from National Treasury or from COCTA, from Rural Development, from SAGA, or from any of our bodies, we know what to focus on. So we are talking about a region, but we know that individual members of that region have different strengths and weaknesses. In order to be able to come with the intervention that is relevant, it's important for us to work out all this so that the approach is fit for purpose. Because yes, the approach might be similar throughout the country, but we know that the strengths and weaknesses will differ from one town to the next. So that's basically the approach that we have been following as a SALGA, that we start looking at the status quo, doing that. We formulate a vision. We use the word town here, but not necessarily just one town, because we are talking about, we want to encourage those towns within the region to think in a similar way, but without taking into consideration the fact that they are still individual entities, as it were. We then identify the required intervention and then local special development plans, because whatever we do still have to be in line with the general plans that the municipality will be driving in order to continue to get the support. And then we start to put together the concept looking at various value chains and different sectors. It could be, as I said, manufacturing, mining, energy, tourism, agriculture, etc. Then we start to package various feasibility studies depending on what each town can offer. That's when we are now able to say, let's go to the market, because now we have been able to do the feasibility studies. We have been able to package investment opportunities. Now the municipalities within the regions are able to start profiling themselves. If I say, as the one municipality within the region, I'm profiling myself for the manufacturing sector, I'm saying that in confidence, because I know that what I'm saying is supported by the municipality next door, because we have done these things together. We are able to even go to the market. When I'm saying market, I'm talking about the investment, to say, this is our profile, and these are things that we are able to offer. Obviously, it's a continuous exercise, because things change, the environment changes continuously. Then we have to do our monitoring and evaluation and close that report. But the most important factor is that we do need those municipalities who are part of the region to play a leading role, because we can only assist, but at the end of the day, this must be driven at a local level. So some of the lessons that we have learned is that when you start with the small town regional program, you have to take into account where and what. What does that region have to offer? What specific approach is going to be associated with a particular region? Emphasizing the point, sound governance system, sufficient human capital to execute the small town regional program, and updated IDPs as well as SDF. The following technical factors must be present, as I've mentioned before, and then the functional economic region has to be identified. And then there has to be a development criteria, taking all those factors into account. This becomes important when you say where and what. Where are we talking about, which region, and what is it that we are trying to put forward? And I must emphasize that in saying this, we do know that when we go back to the communities, there's always a debate. Because if, as an individual, I'm working in a certain sector, say I'm in agriculture, and this program is saying this region is going to be strong in, say, in power generation, I want to argue very strongly that my sector is still important, it should be given a priority. So as you know, in your space, that those are the kinds of debates that we'll always engage in, but we need to be able to get some sort of an agreement so that there is some sort of a collective in thinking and be able to accommodate various views. But at the end, we need to know what that region key drivers are going to be going forward. And then the how part of it, now that we know where we are and what we want to be able to give, one of the things that we have learned is that it's important to identify immediate, intermediate and macro causes for a town's decline. And this point, when you say a sector, you need to know why is it declining? If it's growing, why is it growing? If it's stagnated, why is it stagnated? Because that's what's going to inform the plans going forward. We have to identify the regional economies so that we are able to be broader in thinking. And thinking as a whole is basically what I said earlier on the issue of the regional approach, that instead of thinking about my small town or thinking about my small municipality, I need to think about the region, because if you think like that, you'll find that you can gain much more. Then there has to be a cooperation. Obviously, this is critical, that if there's no cooperation within the municipalities, then it becomes difficult because you get an unnecessary competition which would serve as a threat, and we miss opportunities that we could have gained if we had been working together. Obviously, the roles have to be clear, because this, as you'll agree, it cannot be done by one department. It cannot be done by one level of government. You require municipalities, you require the provincial departments, you require the national government. But more importantly, we require the private sector, because we always emphasize the point that as government, ours is to create the environment that is conducive. So if the private sector is left out in all this planning, you may find that by the time they come in, we have actually messed things up, because what we are providing to them as a conducive environment is not suitable to what they need to do. So they have to be part of the program much earlier. And obviously, the civil society has to take the lead, because all we do to support and give benefit to our communities. So the development should be led by residents and local associations, just to emphasize the point that I've made. Those are the few that we have learned, but I do check a request that if you allow Colleen just to share the practical experience that we have learned. So the last slide that I have is emphasizing the point that we may say all these things as official, but if there's no political leadership, all what we are saying will be in vain. So it's important that at a national, at a provincial, as well as a local level, there has to be a very strong political leadership to support this initiative. We are even suggesting that perhaps the mayor or the municipal manager should be the one who's going to lead the process. But in so doing, always thinking regional instead of thinking individual town. Because if you continue to think individually and isolating yourself, unfortunately, you remain isolated in that. So that's what I wanted to share with the committee. That's the work that we have been doing with SALC. This is just a diagram to confirm the things that I've just said. So I'm concluding there, Chair, to say perhaps if you may allow Colleen to just come back to share with you shortly what we have learned from the Karoo region, and then we can be able to go into discussion. Thank you very much for your time.
Chair, is it okay if I make just a few comments?
Where is the chair? Chairperson, where are you? Morning, Khalid.
Morning, Honorable Pumza. How are you? I was going to say, in introducing the Karoo region, one of the honorable members was part of that process that was initiated. Go ahead, just to make a few comments on the practical implementation of the small town regeneration. I'm not sure if the chair, but okay, let me make a bit of an addition to what my colleague Zamo has shared with the committee. When the municipalities in the Karoo, some of them got together and they asked SALGA to assist with a dialogue on some of the challenges and opportunities that they are faced with, they've come to the realization that there is a need for municipalities across provincial boundaries to engage with each other, to look at the challenges, to look at what are the opportunities and how they could work together on some of the initiatives. So some of the things that they were identifying as sort of big projects or mega projects, like your independent power producers, renewable energy projects. At that time, the challenge of the mega project like the shale gas and the capacity of municipalities to be able to manage such a big initiative, so that cuts across Northern Cape, Western Cape, and Eastern Cape. And some of the IPPs also cuts across municipal boundaries. And that's where they push the idea of, let's have this approach of working together at the regional level. And we were asked to facilitate and coordinate that process. And that started in 2016. And where we are now is we engaged with a number of national stakeholders, provincial stakeholders, it's government departments, state-owned enterprises, because they all work in that geographic area. And I think from my experience, all of the stakeholders welcome this idea and the approach of working at the regional level, but with the aim of revitalizing or building on small towns and supporting municipalities. So since then, we've now looked at practical initiatives at the regional level, but which municipalities will have to take down at a municipal level, and then look at how they can sustain and grow these small towns. It theoretically sounds very easy, but I think it's a long way to go and to achieve that. So I mentioned when I opened that the Karoo region is the first region that's been proclaimed and gazetted in terms of Section 18 of SPLUMA. The minister signed off the gazette or proclaimed it on the 19th of October 2020. And for the minister to proclaim it, it required all councils in that region to have a council resolution adopting the region, as well as all four premiers supporting this the proclamation of a region. And we've managed to mobilize all 40 municipalities, including in that region is Mangaung. Mangaung has got a large part of their area to the south, which is Karoo in nature. And the Karoo is the semi-arid region that we're talking about, and not necessarily the other parts, such as the Galagadi, but it's more the semi-arid area. So all 40 municipalities had to pass council resolutions, and which they did. And all four premiers provided their letters of support, and that then led to the proclamation. The other initiative that we're doing in the Karoo region is a regional spatial development framework. So you can see from the Northern Cape, Free State, Eastern Cape, and the Western Cape, that comprises the Karoo region and the 40 municipalities. So the Department of Agriculture, Land Reform, and Rural Development is assisting us with the development of a regional spatial development framework. It will probably be the first in the country, cutting across the four provincial boundaries. That's work in progress, and they will be completed with that exercise by the end of this year. Then we've mobilized a number of other government departments to assist the Karoo region. So for example, the Department of Tourism, as part of their national initiative, is looking at a Karoo regional tourism strategy, but in that they will look at corridors, routes, and all of those things that again cuts across municipal, district, and provincial boundaries, because tourism or tourists know no boundaries. So they will be identifying, well, they have identified that already. We will be presenting that at the conference on 18 and 19 March, but the idea is then for municipalities to take that down at the local level and start looking at intermunicipal cooperation of promoting and developing these tourism corridors, and there's a number of it in the Karoo. We've also got the Department of Science and Innovation that's supporting us as part of their national strategy of innovation mapping. They're assisting through the Human Sciences Research Council to map innovation in through towns. And thus far, they have done 12 municipalities as phase one, and they've presented, or they will be presenting the report at the conference. And basically, it's looking at in communities, local communities, people that are doing innovative things, whether it is products, services, networks, etc., and how can we use that then to grow those communities or those enterprises, which then will contribute job creation, etc. So they're doing that exercise. We've then also engaged with the Department of Public Works and Infrastructure. They've got their precinct development planning initiative, which was mainly in the metros. So for example, Yotswane, where they would have their precinct planning and develop a whole precinct for government. They've selected through a process of discussions, 7 municipalities in the Karoo region. So it's the first time they're going to be working in small municipalities, where they will, they have done an analysis of all of these 7 municipalities, and the analysis looks at which clients do they have in that town. So the municipality had to select a town, and then they will look at what are all their clients in the towns, and their clients are those government agencies such as SASA, SARS, the police services, clinics, etc. And they will do an analysis to see how many of the government departments are leasing space from the private sector and at what cost are they leasing it. And if then they would do a feasibility study to see if it would be cheaper for government to have their own buildings that their customers could lease from, and whether it will be more cost effective than to lease from the private sector. But at the same time, they're also asking that if it's feasible for government to then have their own precinct in those small towns, it should then be located and be accessible to the communities. So it could be used to facilitate spatial transformation, because you then can locate all of these services of government closer to the people that's in need of it. And that would then bring your private sector, such as your retail and other professional services, closer to those areas. So they will be presenting at the conference on the 18th and 19th of March on the work that they've done. And that could be real small town regeneration projects if it comes to a realization in a few years' time, if the department finds that it's feasible for them to build their own precinct in towns like Beaufort West, Oudtshoorn, Graaf Reinet, Daar. Those are the towns that they are looking at. So Chair, without taking too much of your time, and I think what we will do is ensure that invitations for the conference is extended to the portfolio committee members, where over the 2 days you can then hear how at the regional approach we're beginning to look at small town regeneration. While a lot of work has been done at the regional level, we now want to start facilitating municipalities to look at small towns that they need to regenerate. Chair, for now, I think I'll stop there and back to you, Chair. Thank you. I don't know, maybe NEC member Stofile, if I can hand back to you first.
No, thank you very much. We're handing over back to the Chair. Thank you, Khalil and Zamo.
Are you handing over to me?
Yes, Chair.
Yes. Thank you so much. Before he goes, can you spell his name properly for us? Is what Khalil Mulyaki. How do you spell it?
It's Khalil Mulaji.
Let's do it again. Khalil
Mulaji.
Mulaji.
Yeah.
Mulaji. Who's laughing at me?
It's me, Honorable. I know Khalil very well, so I had to learn how to pronounce his name.
It's you. Who's causing all these things? Since you came in here, you remember, you are the cause of these things. Yeah, you're having fun of me, ne? Let's proceed. Members, can I see a show of hands who want to interact with this presentation? Already there's the record on the space on the system. Oh, I know why the two of you, you're former councillors, you're from there. And Cheza. Is that the three hands? That's fine.
I'm behaving, Chair. I'm raising my hand here. I'm heavy.
You're not. That's only now that the video is come, eh? Okay. Mkalipi. When Mpumza, they will be tempted as others. And they had their best. They are here. Okay, fine. Let's proceed. They will.
We're covered so far, Chair. We're covered.
Okay. It's fine. You reckon?
Thank you, Chair. Let me acknowledge the presentation that has been made to us. And on my side, this situation that Salga is speaking about is very personal to me because I'm living in a perfect example of what they are raising. Most of our small towns have potential for growth and building a better economic drivers in their area. But instead, the economy is declining daily and the towns are becoming ghost towns. The reason behind this is that in most small towns, we have challenges of crime, poor infrastructure, systems, and municipal debt, which make it difficult for the investors to come and invest in such areas. We also have challenges of poor planning, old apartheid special planning, and lack of capacity in the municipalities and areas that we are talking about. So what is the SALGA plan in assisting those small towns on ensuring that they identify their possible economic drivers, that they also have a credible local economic development plan, and also a corresponding sectoral plan? Secondly, as I indicated, I can relate to the SALGA presentation because I'm from Machabeng, where the economy was booming many years ago. But today it is difficult, it's a different story. Currently, when we speak about Machabeng, we are speaking about a distressed mining town. So I can recall that during the time of President Zuma, he introduced a special presidential packages for the distressed mining town. I just want to check with SALGA if the president, I'm not sure if that packages is still available. If it is available, how is SALGA going to assist these small municipalities that are affected to access the funds? And lastly, Chair, for one to turn around a small town, it's also going to need a political and administrative will. I remember on my other time as a councillor, we wanted to establish a municipal economic advisory board consisting of qualified people from the sector of engineering, economy, and project management. But it was a difficult task to do, because there was a lack of understanding in terms of the importance of local economic development. That is why in most of our municipalities, this department is not funded properly. There's no staff and stuff like that. So how is SALGA going to ensure that they train municipalities on local economic development, its importance, and also to ensure that there's a political and administrative will? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you so much, Honorable Direko. Can I allow Honorable speech?
Good morning, Chairperson. Chair, you are correct. Indeed, I have been a councillor and I've been a ward councillor also. And I come from a small town. Chairperson, I am going to share the experience and just ask one question as a suggestion in terms of if we want to see this program really having an impact. And I'm going to make a reference, Chairperson, to a program that has been introduced in August 2009, and that was the Comprehensive Rural Development Plan. And that particular plan, Chairperson, was launched in rural towns, and the aim of those of that program was to deal exactly with rural poverty, and also through the use the optimal use and management of natural resources and also spatial transformation. And I happened to be the ward councillor for a ward that was identified as such a node. And so ideally you would have each month a meeting of all national departments, all coming to these towns and have meetings, and everyone would tick their boxes and that they're present. But what I found as time went on, in the absence of tangible impacts being felt on the ground, is the fact that there was no one who took responsibility per se to look at blockages, things that were blocking us moving forward in getting some or yielding some results. And I think if such a program ever, and again with small town regeneration, there is a huge gap that we need to fill if we want to see these programs succeed. And it's having a person with a particular personality and characteristics and skill to make sure that where there are blockages between departments, that that person has the ability to open those blockages and allow this program to move forward. I mention that because in many cases, we couldn't force our way through those blockages. And it meant that some people became despondent. Communities felt that it was just another tick box exercise, but it didn't mean necessarily it was a bad program. And the same with small town regeneration. I have spoken to some mayors of the area that I'm coming from in the Karoo and the Southern Cape, and they have explained to me the challenges that they are experiencing. Yet, again, Chairperson, I am not a pessimist. I think a program like this is needed, but we need to make sure that we put the right people at the right places. The last one is, Chairperson, I have heard the mention being made of partnerships. And in my particular interest is the partnerships that needs to be fostered between the corporate section of any rural town. These are well-established, strong, formations, organizations, and institutions with a lot of institutional knowledge that needs to be used, and we must make sure that we use them in the correct way. They cannot be merely a part of consultation. They need to be involved because they are the ones, in many cases, with the residents of that particular town that keeps the economy going. So thank you for the opportunity, Chairperson. That is all from me.
Thank you so much, Honorable Spitz. Then we have Honorable Kleza. Honorable Kleza. Oh, there you go. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair. Today, the network is much better. Let's start here with the questions because I might lose my network here. I hope that Chairperson, this program then will speak to the developmental approach which do not keep the rural township in.
I'm losing him. Okay.
Losing me.
Yes. Can you switch off the video and see how you go? Maybe. Colleagues, am I the only one who's losing him?
No, we don't hear him, Chair.
Yes. Don't hear him. Let's allow him maybe to... Kleza, are you still there? Honorable Kleza? No, you will come. Proceed, Honorable Mutalib.
Okay. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Yes.
Thanks for the presentation, Chair. Maybe one must start by saying that the discussion that we have yesterday in terms of the district development model. Yeah, you'll come after me.
Yes. You'll come after him. Hey, sorry. My apologies. He had broken. Honorable Kleza? Honorable Kleza? You'll come after Honorable Mukalip. Proceed, Honorable Mukalip.
Yes, Chair. I was saying that, firstly, let me thank Mr. Kwala and Khalil for the presentation. Yeah, Chairperson, from Salga. But I'm saying, Chairperson, I think the presentation also speaks to what we have discussed yesterday, because the department itself is also pushing the district development model, and we have raised some issues to say that in terms of the coordination of the programs, in order for us to see the service delivery as we like to see in terms of the municipalities, we need to be on par. Each and every program that is put by the department, of which is not the first time, Back to Basic was one of the program, and then now they are pushing the district development model. So yesterday we raised some issues to say that it's lacking. The key aspect that is lacking is the coordination in order to achieve of what they want to achieve. So now today, this presentation that talks about a small town regeneration, I want to agree to say that we are not well vested about those issues as a committee. As a result, we need to be guided by SALGA. SALGA must tell us exactly what are the key success stories in terms of their knowledge, in terms of this program of small town regeneration, which is, if it's properly well coordinated, we can also achieve what we intended to achieve in terms of addressing the challenges that we are faced with of economy, of unemployment, as well as challenges of development in a nutshell. And as well as what I can also ask from SALGA, if the small town regeneration can also be a link with township economy, because if I can ask from the perspective of SALGA, is how many towns are earmarked for this program in the whole country? Because I'm sure all of us here, we can agree that our population is growing. So we already have a problem, Chairperson, of unemployment and poverty. And yesterday, statistics told us that the rate of unemployment has increased to 32%. And it looked like you are still going to have this kind of a challenge for a long time. So therefore, we ought to do something to address these challenges in terms of this program that is being presented here today. But township economy, Chairperson, because also this small town regeneration is going to be a failure if it's not going to be backed up by the township economy, of which I agree with Honorable Direko to say that in the towns that these programs are believed to be implemented, is getting worse than before. So therefore, if we are going to fail to zoom in on the township economy, as we know very well, Chairperson, that you are from those areas ourselves. We are activists on our own right. We know what is happening. As we speak, Chairperson, if you go to any township in the country, you'll know very well that people from other parts of the world have taken up the township economy. As a result, the South Africans are depending only, I'm talking about the unemployment South Africans, are depending on 350s, which is nothing. So in terms of township economy, they're not part and parcel. And the municipality, coming back to the point that I made earlier on, in the district development model, the municipalities, they must also come strong. I agree with Honorable Direko to say it will also depend on the political will of those leaders in those particular municipalities as well. So in order for us to address these challenges that we are seeking to address with all these part of programs. So the district model, Chairperson, is also have to talk to that. I'm sure that SALGA, they will also be in touch with the department from time to time in order to have a holistic approach if you want to address such problems that you are experiencing of unemployment, of poverty, and so on and so on. So Now it seems as if everything is just fragmented, Khalil and Babu Kwala. It's just fragmented. You are just receiving a district development model while it was pilot on three areas. Now we are coming with this small town regeneration, which is not featuring to any agenda of the portfolio committee. I think since I became a member of this portfolio committee, Chairperson, you'll correct me if I'm wrong. I'm hearing about this program for the first time in this committee. I didn't even know it falls under the committee. So it also tells you if at this level of a portfolio committee, we have not discussed this issue, that will also have a huge impact in terms of our people who are always complaining about losing their jobs. It's even worse now during COVID-19, Chairperson. It's even worse now. People are losing jobs because companies, they can't afford to operate in South Africa. While there are no programs that talk specific to such programs at a local level. If you remember, Chairperson, there was a debate before 2019 national elections to say that what is the use to have provincial government? Because what we could do is to go and strengthen the local government. I mean, the local sphere, because people, they know that I'm residing in Ward 52 in Inanda, and I know my councillor is Councillor so-and-so. I know my mayor is so-and-so. When it comes to a provincial government, they hardly know that, okay, they might know that the premier is Sihlezi Galala, but the rest, because in fact, there's no tangible programs that talks to them. So therefore, if we can have a well-coordinated programs in terms of addressing economy in this country, I think we can go as far as possible. But it will depend on SALGA and all other stakeholders, especially the department and the leadership at the municipal level, if they are very serious about these issues. Because at the end of the day, if a person who resides at Tekwini or in Port Elizabeth or where it, any part of the country, if you don't have any income, how are you expected to go and pay for your services? I think that is one of the challenges that you are also facing with when we have to go and call all the municipalities. Well, they are going to tell us that, no, since it's COVID-19, people are able to pay for their services. But while you are not addressing the issue of unemployment, so I'm saying my point, Chairperson, this kind of programs, it needs to feature prominently in our program. And also when we call the municipalities to come and account to this committee, this point must also feature very prominently. I'm not saying those people who have taken over township economy must be chased away as is happening in some parts of the country, but I think it needs a political will to address this issue of South Africans who are unemployed through this kind of program. It must not just exist on the papers. I think I made this point yesterday to say that it's very beautiful for the department or for whoever to come and do a very beautiful presentation, as like this SALGA have done. Very beautiful, understandable, but the moment we finish with this meeting, all that was presented here, it will be over. Nothing will be tangible. Nothing will be as a result of implementation. I think as this committee, we must move now to say whoever we have come and do presentation, we need to say that we need to be told how far in terms of the implementation of the program that you have implemented here. Same goes with the community works program that seeks to be the intervention on poverty alleviation, and it's also here in this committee. So it's very beautiful. We are told how many people have been employed during that process, but when you go to the ground, it's a different story. So therefore, Chairperson, I'm saying as part of our task as this committee to do our oversight, we need to make sure that we make we monitor everything that is being presented here in terms of implementation. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you so much, Honorable Mkalipi. Then let's allow Honorable Kaiser, if she's still around. Honorable Kleza?
Yes, Chairperson.
There you come. Proceed. Honorable Kleza, proceed. Proceed with your input.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Chairperson?
I can hear you. Yes, I can hear you. Proceed.
Welcome to the presentation, and I think that can help.
Yeah, I see your hand, Honorable Sowe. Well, welcome back. You'll come after Honorable Kleza.
That it speaks. Oh, man. Yes, can you hear me, Chairperson, now? I welcome from South. I hope that these programs will then speak to what we have always been raising in the committee in terms of the disparities between the rural towns and the capacity of the urban areas. And the coupled with the migration, forced migration that still persists between rural and urban areas. Chairperson, we must, as I agree with my colleague Komsam Kalipi, who bring problems that are defined by the manner in which plays an active role in terms of reproducing the inequalities and imbalances of the past by not doing anything to transform this economy. Part of what I'm saying is that if you cast your eyes in the region of Amathole municipalities from Dimbaza, you go down to Pedi, from Pedi you go up to Kingulemstown and so forth, Jefferson. You would notice that there were industries, textile industries that were built during the homelands. And you can go to Gazankulu, Chairperson, and you can go anywhere, the former Gazankulu, and you can go to KwaZulu. You will see these small interventions by the former governments of the homelands. And the destruction of those industries in the post 1994 period. But now, as part of the intervention that Falga is talking about in terms of small towns regeneration, what actions will Falga do in terms of regenerating those industries that were formerly employing locals in those areas? So I really want to get an understanding if you had an infrastructure that was actually employing a certain number of people, and then when you get to a certain part of a liberation, then you destroy them. And then you do not have an alternative, a clear alternative to say, where are the people going to be employed? Where is the economic activity against the revenue that should be collected by local municipalities and the capacity thereof, of local municipalities to be able to extract own revenue from the households. And Chairperson, there can never be a maximum service delivery from municipalities unless we stimulate local economic activity. We should speak to the living conditions of our people. The most effective way of creating jobs is to build sustainable industries to produce what the consumers are doing on a daily basis. And unless we we do this coupled with expropriation of land without compensation. We are going to have a problem with also how the current conditions will be restrictive in terms of where and how these local industries will be put in place. How sustainable is it going to be in the current state? The other issue, Chairperson, that I would like to know to get an understanding on is the time frame as to how long will this program take to get to the implementation stages, the small regeneration. Because as things stand, the unemployment escalates at 40% with an increase, with a recent increase of 1.7%. 62 million people are unemployed. And this does not include 2 million people who have been looking for jobs and not getting jobs and who are capable to work. So you've got over 2 million people who just have given up. And what then would be an industrial intervention from this program of SALCA to massive industrial intervention to ensure that there are sustainable measures wherein we do not have problems of roads that are not built. We do not have an infrastructure that is dilapidating as a result of the lack of maintenance. And I think, Chairperson, when it comes to political will that the presenter has raised, I think that really in the current state, the political will leaves a lot to be desired, because sometimes I think at the most, what the capacity of comprehending these interventions will can only speak if there are tenders that are included in these programs, and the program being driven by SALCA should be driven by government itself and the provinces and local government to come on board to ensure that it should translate to necessary economic activities and also translate to necessary revenue and service delivery that should define the local space. I think that is my submission, Chairperson. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. Can we allow Honorable Mpumza?
Thank you, Chairperson. We welcome the presentation from SALCA. Initially, Chair, I was hesitant to ask question because I was asking myself, how could I ask my own wife? But nonetheless, looking at this presentation, Chair, it begins to this STR approach begins to speak to regional economies as a way of building the economies of the small dwarfs and the rural settings. Because it would be in a position of pulling in resources and crowding in investment in these particular areas. But Chair, I think that the STR program, as it is, called up both the province, particularly national, and the provinces, should use its portfolio of cooperative governance to actually pull in all sector departments. And agreeing with my colleague, Faisal, that perhaps the department must consider apparently adopting that program as a way of, because currently the local economic development portfolio in the municipalities driven by the departments in the provinces. The example of Guyana is a living example where our municipalities are not actually up to scratch in actually driving economic development in their areas. So this particular program requires mayors and councillors who have entrepreneurial vision that will ensure that they would be working towards pulling together resources so that they would crowd in investment in their spaces and places. But this particular SDLP approach resonates with the white paper on local government, which actually begins to state that the strategic role of province, particularly Kokta and National, in the local government space is that of socio-economic development that should be actually be played meaningfully so that we make this a success. May I ask then from Khalil and Salva that in the event of looking at this regional approach, how far have they gone in actually assisting and facilitating the development of regional spatial developments that would actually assist in pulling in and in driving the development of the small torpies and the rural settings? Because if we'll be looking in these small towns, particularly in the Karoo, in the dry area, we are finding a situation that these are small towns whose economies are not growing. Instead, their revenues are shrinking because people are migrating out of those small towns. Then it begins to say that this particular approach would indeed be appropriate in intervening and rebuilding such economies and job creation in those areas. So it is important here that COPTA would not come up with its own separate local economic development policy, but would rather adopt this SALGA approach and be at the center of driving it as part of its support to municipalities in building their capabilities, that indeed they might be in a position of welcoming and accepting this regional approach in building small towns. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you so much. The Deputy Minister is still here. Because I should think COPTA has got a fully fledged, not directorate, what do you call all these things where it's led by the DDG? Fully fledged program.
Rancher.
That deal with this matter. What do you call it, DM Bubble? Whatever, but I believe you
hear what I'm saying.
Fully fledged branches that should. Is focused on local economic development. That's the message, the issue that I wanted to raise to say. I think we want to hear also COPTA's view on this one. What is it that we're doing? Because like I said, you have been purely on support. That's what you have been focusing on as the COC. I think DDG Temba Fosu must address us on this one. And then I also think that moving forward. Because if Mkalipi has said, say, what we have been dealing with yesterday is the district development model. And I think Steza, who said that here where I'm seated here in the old Vanderbilt state, next door there are a lot of factories that in the past they used to produce jerseys, furniture. You call them techies, gypsy taxis, and everything. You clothing factories, overalls, and the rest. Those factories have just become white elephants. And I should think it's this new democratic dispensation that has destroyed them. I will then implore you to say then, if we are talking about revitalizing of these small towns, then where I'm seated, we need to then call the Department of Small Business. They must come and tell us what are they doing to make sure those kind of factories are inserted in employment creation. You call the Department of Economic Development and Competition. Also, the other time, the minister and the DG, they didn't come to us saying they were attending the meeting with the Tourism Portfolio Committee. And then I think they were raising this issue around how can then local government assist in the development of tourism. It's another economic spin-off that you can deal with, including your own Rural and Development and Agriculture Department. So that then, I think we can either attempt to do that prior as a committee, call all those departments, and maybe to take it further, because I think it has been our experience as this committee that the joint committees meeting don't properly work. But in our own, I think we're entitled to call. So that will now start to say, to speak about the importance of working together as government from various spheres instead of people working in their comfort corners. So these are some of the issues that I would like you, DM, to also comment and DDG foresee on these matters. The other issue, as I've raised earlier in my introductory remarks, I should think that the colleagues didn't raise it because I've hammered it as I opened the meeting. The issue that I want to raise, Salga, have you done? Oh, sorry, Mato. I'm going to come back to you. Salga, what are the practical case studies that yourself, as Salga, you can share with this portfolio committee with regard to your small town regeneration program? And in so doing that, if there are any, can you also pinpoint exactly where the committee can conduct oversight in this regard so that we're able to see something tangible to that effect? And then are there any international examples of good practices in small town regeneration which yourself as Salga can recommend to the committee? So that's the issue that we want to also then raise. Let me allow Mato, maybe she might want to raise issues that I will have been disadvantage here is the chair. I agree with the chair. You chair the meeting. You don't talk a lot. Mato?
Oh, thank you, Chairperson. Even if I'm still as a doctor, but I just want to raise this issue. The issue of township revitalization. In the presentation of Salka, it was very good and progressive, but they didn't mention the innovative development of a small-scale farmers, especially the farmers, you know, in the township that are just occupying any open space and start practicing farming, as most of our people are unemployed. And also, I was also expecting Salka to say, now because of the issue of COVID-19, it makes us to wake up. They were supposed to be saying, we are going to identify a farm whereby the municipalities will employ those people, and there should be a subsistence officer that will be a link between those farmers and the municipalities. If there are any problems that our people are encountering, especially, you know, the orphanage and the old age, they should go there and get the food from there. And also, if they are talking about the small scale farmers, because in our case,
our people, they don't have the money to register their companies, but we are expecting SALGA to come to the township and even us to come and do a thorough oversight to identify each and every people, because they just occupy and any space open land and start practicing farming, and they don't have the tools of doing the work. Where, and so I was expecting SALGA to dwell more on that, because of sometimes when the small business talks about, you know, the farming, they only talk about people that have made a business plan and submitted to them. But what about those that they just occupy an open night and start practicing farming? And most of the people now that they are doing that, they are the young people of South Africa. So we were expecting, like the other yesterday, they were talking about giving the farmers 2,000 rand. There's no way that you can use the 2,000 rand. Like those small farmers that they occupy, just an open land, and they are doing very good. And for them to transport their product to the market is very difficult. And also even sailing around the township, they are using the wheelbarrow, meaning they don't have the tools of doing their work. You know, sometimes when they occupy those land, they need a tractor, they need a tools, they need some uniforms to start practicing that. But who will know that? We will only know that about those people if we go down and do a thorough oversight about, if we are talking about the township revitalization, small-scale farmers. Let's take care of them. There are many of them. I thank you.
Okay. Then the other issue that I felt we need to seriously attend to, from your point of view as SALGA, I think you need to school us and educate us. What are the key features of a successful small town? And then the question that will follow then is that, is the key objective of small town regeneration to grow and expand small towns, thereby transforming them to medium or even large towns in the long term? Or could a small town be effective by staying small? You also, we had various interaction on the amalgamated municipalities. And what we have observed during those interactions is that municipal amalgamation have often seen main municipal seat position in the larger urban settlement of a particular municipality, thus then posing a burden on the smaller towns, especially the ones that were cities of those merged, towns of those merged municipalities, as both municipal employees and residents have to commute daily to the larger urban settlement for work and services. And then we want to also understand what has been your approach on this STR program to these problems. So these are some of the issues that we feel we need to raise with you. The DG Temba Force, now that you are here on behalf of the DG, the other issue that I wanted to raise in relation to that, because the CWP program, if managed properly, in line with its objectives, it can be a very major contributor to this township, small towns regeneration. But when you look at it from where I'm observing, it's just people all over, some seated somewhere. And then to say, then how will then, I don't know, maybe because you're still with the remodeling thing that you're busy with, that you talk to this issue also with regard to our small town regeneration. So these are the issues that I wanted also to deal with. And then I think the other critical contributor could be your public works programs that is also being done together with municipalities. Apart from hiring those contrary term contracts, you allowed them to debush the side of the roads now that it has been raining, allow them to then remove the soil and open the manholes that could have been the meaningful contributions that then we can start to talk towards meaningful employment, because these are the people who are supposed to pay rates and services for the municipality. So are we going to keep them indigenous for life? You see, that's the issue on the emphasis of us now starting to work together than to operate in silos. Because I think working together, if also this district development model is maximized to its full benefit, as some of us has raised our concern yesterday, if it's about you just pulling department come with their programs, they implement and go, and then you don't look at the social impact and the economic aspect of this pool that the service are meant for. Because of late, I've just observed a trend happening. Every township is a mall, mall. And because I will say those malls, if you check, it's only those who have who can have access to rent. And still, you'll build them and they become white elephants, because the people who are supposed to buy in those malls, they are those that are grant recipients. So you link it with that mall concept. I don't know who established that. Also towards also empowering our own local entrepreneurs to that effect, to say, if there's any mall that is being built, there must be that local content aspect, even within the renters, because the others, they will try that, but then with no income, they will just leave that shop because they cannot afford these excessive renters that these malls bring about. So those are some of the issues that I think we need to confront and deal with them holistically. You'll start DM Bafela, I see your hand is up. And then Councillor Stefile will comment, and the team of SALGA, who Khalil has asked to be excused at 11. He's already gone, I suppose, but I think Mr. Gwala is still with us. We'll be able to confirm. Yes. And then, yes, DG Kopta as well, acting DG will do that. Minister?
No, thank you, Chairperson. I thought you had forgotten that I said I was going to leave early at some point. So can I come in and maybe Temba Fosi to follow immediately that when SALGA respond to the issues, because it is their document, they can then deal with all holistic issues that are SALGA related. But Temba Fosi will have given the programs in the department and some of the technical information that members have raised. Let me start, and immediately after that, Chair, allow me to then leave the meeting, but Brian will to take notes for me after.
Hey, Brian.
He's not the deputy minister.
Brian, the deputy of the deputy minister. Okay, goodbye.
No, thank you, Chair. Now, let me welcome the input by SALGA. It was quite an opening input, and I think quite inspiring, visionary, but obviously it's a document that we ought to integrate into the mainstream, and then also as government as a whole. And then in the regeneration of the small towns, we also have to then begin to look at models of smart technology that is rolling out, particularly the fourth industrial revolution. Then some of them in the regeneration, make sure therefore that we invest in that area. Also the issue of the green economy of that the cities, including the renewable energy use, we also have to integrate so that the towns can be revitalized also. Also that these towns must be sustainable for long. And I think whatever we do as a regeneration, we should not regress where then they do not become sustainable, and also attending to the issues of climate change. Because some of the establishment of the towns are in flood zones, as you will know, and then we still have to do a lot of ratification around those areas of the dramatic areas that the towns that are sustainable as we go forward. But I think what was also coming out from members was that regeneration of towns without economic activities and industrialization, you will just build white elephants in the long term, and they will not be sustainable. And therefore, we just have to make sure, therefore, the economies of scale really analyzed proper, the comparative advantages of where we are regenerating must be of that sustainable, particularly those that are still having mines running. When the mine, what happens with those towns? Taking lessons from Achabing, where the whip of the committee, the lady, the record comes from. Taking those lessons that sometimes they become ghost towns, and we need to take lessons, particularly where mines have just started, particularly if you go to Vegas Fort in Limpopo, and all those things. What happens beyond the platinum depleting that would not have found us arising? I think we take those inputs as very useful, and I hope SALGA will also integrate them in their document. Then the second folk area that I want to also contribute is for the SALGA to realign their input. I know the document was developed a few years ago, and it keeps on being refined along the way. At the time when they launched it, the minister was Minister Pravin Gordhan in Kota, and then who had accompanied Minister Nkwindi at the launch. So we did really to realign based on the new decisions that are there. One, on the regional economies, we need to also look at the SEZ, special economic zones, that have been licensed to all provinces. Most provinces have 2 to 3 of the special economic zones, except one that one province that has only one. Two provinces that have one, Northern Cape and then Northwest, they only have one licensed to them. So, but then most of the provinces, they have two of this special economic zones. We need then to go and really see if there are any towns in those special economic zones, be the targets of the regeneration themselves, and where there are no towns, obviously, to get the advantage and the economic of scales, whether any new town that can support the rural populations and the new activities that will be arising as a result of the establishment of the special economic zones. So your issue on regional economies must then include this new agenda called the SEZ, because you just spoke about the regional economies and we are saying nothing about these new decisions on the SEZ. And then also, Chair, that some of the new towns could also be looked at where universities are. I mean, take a model of what is happening in Europe, elsewhere in the world. Wherever there are universities, the thriving towns emerging around those universities. And I think we do have a lot of universities, but then there's poor communities around them. There's no towns that are emerging. And usually they call them the university towns. They thrive because a lot of economic activities does rise if given space to express. And then you go to Alice, where Fort Hare is, it's absolutely nothing. And yet Fort Hare will be celebrating 100 years, if I'm not mistaken. And yet the 100 years is just celebration of the university. It has never brought any economic growth around. So the regeneration must also be targeting. So if we could make sure that the document is a living document that speaks to government programs, but also that speaks to the advantages that are there, as you have done in some of the examples that you gave. Then on the third issue, is the inter-municipal cooperation, which I liked. It's in the presentation, but it must also be modeled in the district development model. I think it was Honorable Taeza, who said that you don't say anything about the district development model to that inter-municipal cooperation, because it brings all municipalities at the district level. One budget, one plan, one focus. So I think this gives us an opportunity, because that is the government program. All departments will be focusing on that. And I think the document must also say We are ready. We have developed this document. We are now realigning to also include the DDM, because that's the intermunicipal cooperation takes place. The regional economies I like, because it does cross-border municipalities and provinces. So there, I think it was well articulated. So I just say, therefore, that the DDM can be located in the intermunicipal of the document. And then also that the municipalities will still be having their own mandates as municipalities, as was explained yesterday. And in those municipalities, what we call the industrial development zones. And I thought those zones ought to be also the growth points, where we will then see them as part of the regeneration of the towns that exist, and the possibility of new towns arising based on what is happening in those industrial development zones. Honorable Tessa, the DTI has already set aside the budget, and they are rolling it out, and they've started doing work to really begin to revive industries also as part of the IGZ. Those industries in the former homelands, Baza, Gazambulu, Lebuafo, Momokwase, Kwakwa, Babelezi, where the chair was already pointing us to in Venda. The monies have been put, and then there's a lot of refurbishing and revival, but obviously with the assistance of the DTI bringing in manufacturing activities there, so that then the markets can then be accessed for those people who will be going in there. Because if you don't have a market and you start an establishment, you might not as well start. So the DTI is really involved. And if you could, as a committee at some point, maybe go together with small business and DTI portfolio committees, you could visit some of these particular industrial park to go and see that indeed work has commenced, quite a lot of rebuilding and reconstruction is taking place, and then quite a number of other people are now beginning to invest in those areas. So this is part of the IDZs that are now in the municipalities that the document must also then be alive and speak. That includes the issues of the agri-parks that the Department of Agriculture is reviving too. I think you must have heard about them in the past. They are now beginning to revive as part of the rural economy, revival of the rural economy in the main. So I think the document must then be alive to that. And then number four is an issue of the new cities. There are announcements, obviously, of new cities. More announcements are going to be coming, and the document is not alive to that new decision. And therefore, in the new announcement of the new cities, we might also identify those areas that could then have what we call the new towns. So that the South Africa that we have built is the South Africa that caters for all, whether rural or urban, and therefore the document must also be alive to those. And I think quite a number of them are going to be announced, and then therefore we need to be cognizant and be alive to them. Fifth, obviously, government as a whole have what we call the special transformation master plan, where they're looking at the infrastructure, the rural roads, the rollout of rail, the modernization of ports, the building of new ports, and then so forth. So those programs will be driven by the infrastructure divisions that is in the presidency with a fund that has been established. And there's an interministerial committee led by the deputy president that from time to time will be announcing on those programs. And then to see if it does help or contribute to the generation of the new towns and also the regeneration of small towns as they are. I agree with the members, Khalid, I think Bethesda also, and Mpumza, who said that the rural or village and township economies ought to be brought into space in this particular document. But I'm not sure, because we're dealing with economies there. The document was speaking about the town regeneration. But as you said, any regeneration must have an economic activity. Without economic activity, there won't be any regeneration. So we are caught between the tail and the head, and then therefore a hen and an egg. Which one do you emphasize mainly in the document? Because rural and or village and township economies, they are part of the economic strategies. And I think those departments on the economic cluster that has the mandate ought to be brought in space, as the chair you were saying. Probably we might then have to invite small business and others. DTI should not be left out, so that they could then come and talk about this as to where they are, what is happening, a revival, what is happening for us. This economy at the municipality level. And I think our mandate as COPT portfolio, we see municipalities thriving, municipalities revenue enhanced simply because there's economic activities, people get employment, they can pay for the services, and they can spend their money at the municipality and not move the money elsewhere. So I totally agree with that particular issue that then probably we need. I agree with the document finally when it says LED is just a piecemeal. The whole of place ought to be what we are focusing on what should happen in the municipality. The infrastructure divisions in the municipality, those are planning roads, who are also looking at drainage systems and then so forth. There's planning who then decides where should the shopping mall be, where should the school be. An LED be an element of those components in the municipality, so that when we strengthen the LED, we must also look at the infrastructure, we look at planning, so that then and indeed activities happen in the municipality where investment is attracted to. And the investments that are there are sustainable going forward, investing and not moving away, as is the case of the many, many stories where the municipality fails to give water. And then some companies like Nestle will then say, no, I'm moving my factory to in Harrismith in the Free State. I'm not getting joy from the municipality. Then forever they are defaulting payments on Eskom. And because of the defaultment, then we get cut and the production lines get affected. Our profits go down. Why should I stay investing in those areas? Then jobs will then be lost and then jobs be gained elsewhere. So municipalities must really, let's move to this whole of place, which is a very strong point and cut. But I think folks will then give you more programs on the IUDF, the LED, and the DDMs, but which we spoke of yesterday, but also our collaboration with all other departments that has different portfolios. And agreeing with you, Chair, lastly, that strong economy at the municipality level should be maybe one agenda item we all are sponsoring, and we invite these multiple departments to come and really respond, including SALGA and the COCTA to say, what is it that will include COCTA as a whole, because there's agrarian revolution on the side of the GTA that also ought to come into that particular debate once you then explain it as you are already suggesting. Thank you, Chairperson, and that's where I think folks can come in with technical and then all the programs in the department. Thank you.
Thank you, DM. You can also simply move as you move. Thanks for that feedback. It has been helpful. And thanks for making time to attend our meetings.
Okay, thank you.
You mustn't be mourning or timing again. Where credit is due, we must do that.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Okay.
Bye.
DG Fosi.
Thank you, Chairperson, and good morning to all the honourable members and then to the Deputy Minister and then the colleagues from SALGA. Just to confirm, firstly, that when this program was initiated, it also coincided with the development of the urban integrated urban development framework, and in that framework, whilst it's an urban policy framework, but what it does, it emphasizes more a lot around the urban rural continuum, and the focus areas of the IUDF. It's firstly focusing on the cities, the metros. The metros in particular, because those are the key sort of engines of growth in this country. These are the cities that are really driving the macroeconomy of this country. Secondly, it's followed by a program on intermediate cities, which are what is referred to as secondary cities. These are cities that have a huge potential for growth, your Umhlathuz, Polokwane, Msunduz, and so on. But they need to be supported in terms of managing that growth and unlocking their potential. So there's a dedicated program that is focusing on that. The last program is on the Small Towns Regeneration Program to ensure that we're able then to cover all the municipalities in this country. And the small town is really also, as the presentation indicates, how do we stimulate economies in these areas? How also do we collaborate and create these regional economies that takes into advantage the opportunities that are provided at the regional scale? So that program, the IUDF, the policy framework, provides a good sort of framework of how we should be undertaking this work. Secondly, we have the LED framework. The LED framework has been reviewed to align to the economic recovery and reconstruction program, which now takes into account the challenges that would have been brought by the pandemic in terms of increased levels of poverty, unemployment, and it identifies specific activities that must be undertaken by municipalities. We have asked municipalities to develop their economic recovery plans. So far, we have received 34 from the district, but we continue to work with them to ensure that at least by end of this financial year, we should have these economic recovery plans, because they will then provide a good baseline in terms of what are the activities, what is the potential, what are the challenges that would require in all of government to unlock those. So we these are the programs, Chair, that we are driving from the department. But I think the DDM, the District Development Modern, Chair, actually addresses many of the challenges that the honourable members are raising. So honourable member Spears identifies one of the critical elements to actually unlocking some of these interventions. So if there's no dedicated capacity that is focused on unlocking these opportunities, and the DDM as an approach, it's about how we pull all the different sectors horizontally and vertically to ensure that we all work in an integrated and coherent way in these spaces. And as COGTA's role is to really facilitate and provide support. So beyond just developing policies, we must then facilitate and ensure that we work with the different sectors and bring them towards in a more integrated and focused way to work with this. And I think unlocking challenges that and blockages that might be there in the municipalities, it's one of the critical elements of the DDM. We have established and pushing for the establishment across of hubs, which will be centers of coordination at the district level, and ensure that we're able to assist in unlocking some of the challenges that may be there. So coordination is critical, because there are quite a number of programs. So many of the issues that the honorable members have raised which the Deputy Minister has also referred to, the program from DTIC that is looking at resuscitating some of those industrial parks. And some of those programs have already been started. I know about Belegi, Hammanskraal, there's work already, factories that have been resuscitated there. But there's a program focusing on that. Small business, they have a program they presented to our last technical MINMEC, a program where they want to move in as part of resuscitating township economies to look at how they're going to register all sort of small businesses in the township, but also address this challenge that Honorable Mkalipi was raising. And just to say that all of these initiatives, the small towns regeneration, they're not necessarily isolated and fragmented, but it's part of mechanisms of trying to strengthen the planning processes So this, the small towns regeneration, is providing a dedicated focus on how we deal with small towns. But overall, all of these will be anchored on the district development model, because the district development model then is about how you bring all the spheres and sectors in a more focused way and in a specially targeted way to deal with this. The other issue which maybe one can raise, Chair, the National Spatial Development Plan also identifies corridors for growth in this country. And some of the issues that the STR also fits in into that spatial sort of priorities that are identified at national level. So the issue is, how then do we coordinate all these different programs? I mean, the comprehensive rural program, the industrial district, industrial parks. So there are many programs in government, but the problem is what the DDM is trying to address: the silos, fragmentation, and duplication in how these government programs are implemented. So we need to invest from our side, and we continue to do that, to bring sectors in a more focused way. And I know that Khalil and Zamor, they've also have been focusing on identifying specific intervention as part of this program, and engaging also with these sector departments on how we coordinate all of this work. And I agree, Chair, that for us, it's not just about providing support or developing policies, but we need to ensure that these programs, they actually bring social impact. The economic activities that are generated in these spaces, there's benefits to local people. And the DDM is really trying to do that, Chair, because the one plan that we're talking about, it's going to be a compact that is signed by the different sectors that have something to do in that space. And we'll be able from our side to then monitor and track performance of all the sectors in terms of their contribution to that one plan. So we continue to work with SALGA in this program, Chair, and mobilize all the different sort of stakeholders. And this is a program that was initiated by the municipalities themselves, which I think is a good approach, but it must fully be supported by government in terms of investments, clear investments to these spaces. Yeah, I've tried to respond to a number of the questions, but we note all the points that have been raised and appreciate the comments. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you, DDG Fosi. Can I hand over to Councillor Stofile and the team from SAVA?
Thank you very much, Chair. Once again, thank you to GM and the members of the committee. I thought DDG Fosi and the DM will respond to the question pertaining to program that was adopted by the fifth administration, as it was asked by Honorable Direko, pertaining to revitalization of mines or mining towns, because it was a program that government led at that time by President Zuma felt it is important to pay a particular attention to struggling municipalities that were historically growing and then ask SALGA what is its view and its approach pertaining to that. It is our commitment to continue strive, lobby and advocate the interest of the member municipalities in the country. As we earlier indicated in our presentation, and then expecting that we strengthen relations or working relations with the department that is the lead department in this case, happen to be cooperative governance and traditional affairs. And that is why I thought they will be able to respond to that question.
Mkalipi.
What does Mkalipi say?
I really don't know.
What is it showing us? This is not a political meeting, this one. You please.
Okay, proceed.
So, thank you very much, Chair. And then that is why I thought that is going to be answered. The second question, which it was a very penetrating question posed by Honorable Mkalipi. A very deep question that has to do with the ability of the economy to grow and resources consolidated in the community, circulating within the community before it goes out. So that helps the economy to grow. And Honorable Mkalipi's approach is pertaining to an example pertaining to spaza shops businesses that are happening in the municipalities and in the communities. And one of the key issues is that how do you then make sure that part of this small town economic regeneration impact on the township economy? And generally in the township, there are issues pertaining to this spaza shop businesses and many other businesses. I think I want to link that with what DDG Fosi raised, even though I want to give a little bit a rider on it. DDG Fosi says part of the new focus of the government, which it has never been there in the past, we will recall that chair, that a district has been established time in memory. But unfortunately, there was no focus to them. It was just an empty shell that were there. And then the expectation to them is to coordinate, is to render assistance to local municipalities that under their responsibility. And there were no dedicated focus. Now, the new energy says we have a resource called districts. How do we optimally use the districts to benefit the communities and people where they live in the townships, in the towns where they stay? Now, if you look into that, it's a very good energy, which in my view is something that we need to support, but it's not a panacea to resolve the problem that we are facing currently. It requires a serious support from various levels of government. It requires both human and financial resource that must be dedicated so that for it to succeed. Otherwise, it won't succeed if this is not supported sufficiently. In the current moment, I'm foreseeing a situation whereby it's just a slogan. It's just a concept that it requires some little bit of energy and resources to be put at. Now, if you deal with this township economy that it has been referred to, it then tells us the weaknesses of us as a government in three spheres as we exist in terms of the constitution, to coordinate, to support each other. Because people that are running these tuck shops in these townships are people that came through a particular department that has no relations and interaction with the municipality. And municipality just receive the individuals without preparing them. And therefore that impacts on water service, electricity, and many other issues that impact on the municipality. So DDM model become an important model that it must be supported, but draw everybody that is supposed to play a particular role. So it's an important element that it must be built on what we want to see going forward as a coordinated government responds to people's cry and grow the economy, because when the economy is not growing, the person that feels the pinch happens to be a municipality, because each and everyone who's unemployed reside in a municipality. Each and everyone who's supposed to pay services, supposed to pay to municipality, in the absence of municipality receiving what is due to itself, the municipality, it will be very difficult to function. And therefore, the DDM become a very important vehicle that we need to put our impetus to it, for it to succeed and pool all resources available for it to make sure that it does succeed. As I've said earlier on, we have been working with COGTA on this issue, and we have been sharing various views and various opinions on it. And we understood as SALGA that COGTA has fully supported the program and has fully participated in the program. And that is why, Chair, we wish to submit and agree with your suggestion that departments that are playing or are taking part in the local government space, being economic development, rural development, or agriculture, whatever department that has a direct impact to municipalities in terms of successes or failures, it will be important that the the portfolio committee to engage those departments, because for economy to grow, it must be driven, it must be led, it must be guided, and therefore government must take full responsibility in guiding and mobilizing resources, including its communities, to buy in into the change mode of where do we want to take the country to. I think, to me, that is the issue that we wish to support in your initial view. Nevertheless, I think the other rest of the question, I know that Michelle have requested to go to another meeting. I think Gwala is in the meeting, can deal with those other technical questions. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Gwala.
Thank you very much, Chair, and thank you to the members for a number of very good questions. Some of them are comments that will actually help to improve our presentation going forward. So generally, Chair, my initial response would be to say, if I were to summarize a lot of questions and input into two, one were questions that related to coordination or perceived lack of coordination that was emerging from the presentation. And then the second question, if I were to group a number of questions under that, talks to the visibility impact on the ground of saying that, yes, when everything is said and done, we have communities, we are part of those communities, we are not seeing these developments on the ground. It's one thing to talk about the plans, but the implementation becomes very important. So I think the input that we have received, starting with the DM, DDG Fusi, as well as our member of NEC, Councillor Stofile, I think it addressed quite a number of those questions, demonstrating that there is work that is done. So what we'll do with our presentation, perhaps, is that we'll try to pull in as much as possible the information and some of other programs which are driven elsewhere that as SALGA we are part of, because not everything is led at SALGA, it's led by different departments. But I think, Chair, it is obviously important for this committee to interact with those so that they can be addressed directly. But I was actually quite happy with the input. So I'll try to cover the questions that my member of NEC has not covered. There's a question that came from Honorable Mkhalipi that talks about the holistic approach. And I think Deputy Minister dealt with that very nicely, talking about the work that is done by small business development, work done by Department of Trade, Industry and Competition that we need to pull in, because if you read it in that context, you'll understand that there is a lot of coordination that is taking place. The question about SALGA's role in terms of blocking development, the question that was raised by Honorable Spears, there is a program that we have started in SALGA. We look at the situational analysis. The situational analysis was saying that given the point that the chairperson raised when she was doing her introductory remarks at the beginning of the meeting, saying that in most of the municipalities, you've got the LED, but we found that not all LED units in municipalities are well capacitated in terms of human beings, in terms of the financial support to deliver the work. So what we are doing with what we have done in SALGA, we did a very quick situational analysis and looking at the issue looking trade and investment at municipal level. Once we got that, issues were identified. And we have now gone a step further to say, let's put together a manual to help exactly those LED officials to say, how do you deal with these issues? When we talk about the investment promotion, we talk about it in general. We are talking about bringing in new investment. We are talking about retaining the has been made that there are a number of companies that after years of investment in a particular municipality, they can relocate. They feel that there are a number of issues that are actually making their business very difficult in their space. So they start to move elsewhere. Now, our guidelines is helping our officials at municipal level to say how to deal with this issue. We have produced the document. We are sharing via SALGA with all provinces, but we have decided to say, let's take it instead of just producing a document that someone will implement. We will, this year, as from the 1st of April, be identifying municipalities where we'll be piloting the implementation of these guidelines. There we'll be hands-on working with them and say, here is a guideline, this is how you actually work to help it. Just to make an example to clarify what is in that document. The Department of Small Business Development is leading a program that talks to red tape reduction. Red tape reduction says they identify a few issues or indicators that make starting a business in a certain local municipality difficult. One of them would be to say, if I apply for a certain permit, how long does it take before I get an approval? You find that in one municipality, it can take up to 35 days. In another municipality, it takes longer. Then we say, can we learn from the neighboring municipality and say, why are they able to do it? Some of it is because they've got digital facilities that help them to improve things quicker. In some instances, you find that the number of committees that the document has to go through is very reduced, then they are able to move things quicker. So we are saying that with these guidelines, we want to just help our officials to be able to react quickly. There are a number of projects that are actually currently taking place where at SALGA we are intervening to assist the municipality to do just exactly what the member of committee, Honorable Spears, was asking, of saying, how do we then block the development at a local level? So that's one question that I thought I needed to just comment on. And then the other question that came from Honorable Keza was talking about the time frame of implementation. When you take a program like small town regeneration, you can't just say, I'm starting now, I'm going to finish in 2 years, because it's an evolving kind of a program. The intervention or the input from the deputy minister, Kerif, defined that there are a number of revised or new thinking that is coming from other areas like special economic zones. They're starting to influence the work that we are doing. So it's quite a continuous kind of an exercise. But in terms of the implementation, the exercise has already started. We have three projects, as I've said earlier on, that are on the go. The CARU that Colin talked about that involve a number of municipalities between Eastern Cape, Free State, Northern Cape, and Western Cape. We've got another project in Bojanala in Northwest that is on the go. Then we are partnering with the Gauteng now to roll out the Gauteng city region. Those are the three that are already on the go. But obviously they are taking different shapes because they are addressing totally different kinds of dynamics. When you take the one in Gauteng, the dynamics there will be totally different from what you get in the Karoo region, but they are already on the go. So we as SALGA, we are learning from them, but we are also working very close with municipalities to implement. But there's a key question that was raised, and I alluded to that question to say, yes, we are doing all this coordination, we are doing all this planning, but what is happening on the ground? The point that we made that it becomes important that municipalities buy into these plans and start to implement. Because yes, as SALGA, we can actually help to coordinate, we can help to come up with a strategy, but the implementation is at the municipal level. That's why you need that will, because it will influence what goes to IDP. What goes to IDP, in our view, has to support that regional kind of development that we are talking about. DDM is actually supported in that respect. We are saying that the experience that we have gained out of this project is now going to help us when we participate in IGR programs where the DDM is being discussed and all that will be implemented in that frame. The other program that we are running is led by National Treasury. So as you probably are aware, that on an annual basis, the World Bank, they run what they call an easy of doing business, where they compare a number of nations internationally to say, if you go to this particular country, how easy it is to set up a business and to run a business. They've got 10 indicators that they would have identified in that space. So obviously South Africa is one of them. So they will rank us that in this particular indicator, number one, how does South Africa compare to the rest of the country? Indicator number two, how do we compare? Then we say it's a good indicator because when we are looking for foreign direct investment, we know what is it that they compare us with. But we said it's one thing to know, but we need to be able to improve ourselves and go a step further. So a team that is led by National Treasury that we are part of, COCTA is part of, DTI is part of, we are all in there to say, now let's take the very same indicators and now look at them at the metro or city level and say that, how does eThekwini compare to these things? If we isolate eThekwini, when you have been looking at South Africa as a country, but how is eThekwini doing? How is Johannesburg doing? How is Mangaung doing? How is Cape Town doing on those indicators? Then what we have then discovered in that process is that out of the 10 indicators, you may find that one city is doing well in one particular indicator, but is doing badly in other indicators. Then we are saying, what can we learn from this one and start to introduce? So the issue of digitization, some of the processes, it came out of that exercise. Then as Pusi was explaining that we are now taking it a step further and say, moving from the metros, let's go to the secondary cities and start to say, can we use the same kind of indicators or should we review the indicators because you may find that the dynamics are different. Even if we were to review the indicators, but the principle will be still the same to say, we want to be able to learn. Now taking that to the smaller municipalities in terms of the regeneration, we are then saying, how do we then take some of that and be able to implement even at that level. The task that my CEO has just given me at SALGA was that we need in our own, in South Africa, have what we are going to call city competitiveness index. That will be able to say, if you go to Harrismith, the reason why Harrismith is able or unable to attract investment is because they are poor in 1, 2, and 3, and how can we help them to improve? If you use that kind of an exercise, it's a very objective kind of evaluating the cities. Then we are able to say, now that you know the problem, you can start to intervene. But the point that is important is that you cannot then wait until that is done before you talk about economic activity now. That's why I'm saying that it's important that when we make our presentation, we start to pull in the work that is happening elsewhere because some of it is addressing the current challenge of saying, how do we attract the investment? How do we retain the investment? How do we help small business development to move very closer to what we are talking about? The point that was made regarding the IGR, I think it was made by Honorable FUMSA saying that the province and national government must use IGR to pull in or mobilize resources. I agree with that totally, because as SALGA is an entity, there's no way we can have enough resources to make this work on our own. So we rely very much in partnership with our sister organization and departments to help in that space. Chair, you raised the issue of the international experience. In the conference that my colleague Colin was talking about, that will be taking place on the 18th and 19th, there is a day, because it's a two-day conference, there is a session where we are inviting international players in the space of small-town regeneration who will be sharing the international experience. So if some members from this committee are keen to be part of that, obviously will be invited, but those who may not be able to join us on the day will be able to share some of the records that will come out of that conference.
You said what date is that one again, Mr. Gwala?
It's taking place on the 18th and 19th of March.
Okay.
Yeah, so so for now we have invited both Minister Nkosazana Dlamini-Zuma, of Nkosazana Dlamini, as well as Minister Thokodidiza to be part of the conference. They haven't confirmed, but we have extended the invitation. So the point I'm making is that we'll also be having international players who will be giving their case studies to share the experience. There's a question that was raised again by Honorable, I think it's Matlow, that talks to the issue of the small scale farmers as well. I think that can be linked to the township development that Honorable Mkhalipi was talking about. I didn't have information in this regard because really the intention of the presentation was not to focus on it, but I think it's a critical area that we have to be able to pull in. I think there are two ways of doing it. We can pull it into our presentation, but I think, Chair, in order to get a detailed kind of a presentation on that, I think we should extend the invitation to Department of Small Business Development because they are leading in that space of township development, and it will include the issues of the small-scale farmers together with Department of Agriculture. AgriParks that the Deputy Minister was talking about is one of the interventions that is geared to assist the small-scale farmers. What basically it says is that if I'm a farmer sitting somewhere, at a store or I'm sitting somewhere in Free State, in a small town in Free State, and I just want to farm and get the market, I may not have all the skills of developing business markets, of going to sell and do all those things. So if there is a agri hub very close by, then I've got a market where I'll be able to get my produce, submit it into the market and get paid, and someone else will take over and be responsible for on selling of those products. We know that in South Africa, the concept of what they used to call it, where you had all the farmers will get together and form a co-op, and the co-op will run as a sales division of all those farmers. So the AgriHub's intention is just that you'll be producing from various fields, but you'll have a unit where you'll be able to sell all your produce. So I think the department can actually come and give a detailed presentation in that regard because it will be able to assist in answering some of the questions that were raised. Chair, I think I've tried to cover as much as I can. If there's anything that I miss, really, I will ask for your assistance in that regard. Thank you very much.
Okay. Let me see if there are any follow-ups before I... Yay. Let's see. There are any follow-ups? Colleagues? Is there any follow-ups? Wow. I was saying the thing, but wow. So it means Mr. Gwala is so audible. It's Mkhalipi, who else? I'm only seeing Mkhalipi on the raise hand icon. There's nothing. I think it's yourself, Ngalipi.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Chairperson. I was saying that to both Mr. Stofile, my learned friend, who is Mr. Stofile, but who just disappointed me coming to Parliament with a political regalia, and Mr. Gwala. I think they responded very well together with the DM Chairperson. But the fact of the matter is that this discussion won't end here, because when I was listening to their responses, it simply means that this program can't be implemented by COCTA alone. It needs different departments to be on par in order for us as COCTA to say that to the municipalities, now all departments are coordinated in terms of this program. And I agree with you, Chairperson, because we also raise a very crucial and pertinent issues in terms of AMA malls, and those people who can have access to malls are the people who have money. And you know very well that there's a huge gap between the haves and have-nots. So we can't be discussing here at this level in this committee some programs that won't be having a good result to our people. Tina, we are very interested in the result that we'll have good ones in terms of how to empower and how to address challenges of poverty to our own vulnerable people. So therefore, it means that this discussion, Chairperson, must be taken forward in that context, whereby we are going to be told how far are we gone in terms of coordinating it properly. I'm very glad to listen to our deputy director with the DG4C, because he's the one who's championing in the department the district development model, to say that when he comes back to this committee, as we have told him yesterday, that he needs to come back with a clear report of the pilot project. This item will also be there, because we can talk about how to implement DDM and so on and so on, but if we don't have any means and ways of addressing the challenges in terms of economy, we are not going to get anywhere. So I want to just to say that, Chairperson, let us agree that we still need to go and do a follow-up on terms of a way forward. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. Thank you, Honorable Kaliti. On my side, I think the issue is raised by Honorable Mokalipi must be followed by Honorable Dikereko on the revitalization of the mining town. DG4C, I think you need to attend to it as raised also by Councillor Stoffel. We are going to schedule a day in the evening wherein you fully take us through the LED framework for the department, including the IUDF framework. Linking to that, DG4C, I've learned something that was very disturbing as he had me yesterday raising this issue to say, I think on some points, we must call all the so-called political champions of the DDM to come and brief us here in the portfolio committee. As I told you, I won't mention people's names. I'm here in this district where I am. Whoever knows my district might know, and you might know who's the political champion. The other time I attended the district command council meeting, and I started to probe just to test whether the political champion actually understand what this district development model is all about. And to me, the way he or she responded was just Greek, with due respect. So the same thing, another person told me the same thing. I was in Durban the other day, and then as people were interacting with whoever was there as a political champion, the municipality wanted to assistance from that political champion that is deployed there. Unfortunately, the political champion who was there just blankly said, we don't have a mandate on this. And then my argument where I'm seated, did you take through cabinet and the deputy minister through this? Eh? Honestly, I'm raising this based on the fact that I'm prompted now under the circumstances, because I thought it was my attitude towards the political champion in the district where I'm based. But when I got this other information, then I got so concerned. That's why now I'm forced, Tembofus, before we end this term, I want you to come back here as a department. You tell us about what those programs, because it's all about just bringing programs here, yeah? That at the end of the day, it's like we don't know what we're doing. I'm raising this because I want you to come back and brief us on a project consolidate. What did it intended to achieve? Did we achieve what we wanted? Then we came with another program. I forgot the name before, the local government turnaround strategy. The same thing, you see all the programs that as a department you have tried to implement to speed up service delivery. So it, from project consolidate, the other one that I forgot, I will remember, somebody will remind me. Then there was the local government turnaround strategy. There was back to basic program, and now it's the DDM. So I want you to go back with the team DDM. Now there's DDM. And then you have political champions who don't even know what is DDM. In all fairness, because at the same time where I'm seated, it's all well and good with my question of one plan not addressed again yesterday. Then also the other issue that I want to also raise is, you see, where I'm seated and where some of the members seated is that there are some forums that already existed in terms of the IGR framework. And then I don't think they're being utilized here. They're maximum benefits. And yourself as the custodian of the IGR framework act, to us where we are seated, it will be just only you having meetings once a month with national and provincial government and local government and put issues on the table. And then we don't need new models. So I want you to tell us all the that you have said that now also linking to say, are we sure you are part with your political, did you workshop your political champions? What is it that they expected to do? So these are some of the issues that are taking this matter forward, because then if we are then at par, then maybe then we'll have to deal with this matter. And I want you to comment. I know those some of them are your political principal. Reality, ourselves, we are here in the constituencies, and then we are interacting with this colleagues. And that's how it is to say that to me, where I'm sitting, then the department didn't do its paid work. So basically, that's what one wanted to say. And then on SALGA, I think on that international conference, every member here would like to attend that. As long as SALGA, you tell us this thing on time, then we'll be able to then make sure that we have our diary then made to accommodate such conference, because it's in our best interest. We can't be sitting here, as I've outlined, that constitutional provision of section 152, and then every day we are confronted with situation wherein municipalities are just calling for bailouts. We want them to be self-sustainable. It's our wish that this municipality must be self-sustainable, and it's this committee that should make sure that this become a reality. So basically, that's what I want to say before I hand over to you, DDG4C, to comment and then also respond to the issues as raised by Honorable Mkalipi. And then I'll allow Councillor Stofile to also comment, and then we'll determine the way forward. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chair, we'll follow up on the status now of that program on the mining towns. But I remember the last time in the Fleet administration, that program, there were actually budgets that were locked into the program from various departments as part of supporting those distressed mining towns. This is a program that is it was run in the presidency. So I'll follow up on that one, Chair. And we note, Chair, that we'll be guided by the committee. We are prepared to come and present the LED framework and some of the analysis that have been done of the economic recovery plans that have been produced by municipalities in terms of the status of those and the IUDF. IUDF is already aligned to the DDM, Chairperson. So on the issue of the political champions, Chair, we have so these are decisions that were taken in the structures from the NCCC as part of the coordination also of the COVID response. When the president appointed the champions, we developed terms of reference, detailed terms of reference that clarifies the role of the oversight role of the champions and the focus areas that they need to look at. For example, issues of the COVID response, how the different national department programs are impacting in the various districts, but also the extent of the impact of COVID in those districts, looking at issues of GBV also, which was pronounced as a second sort of pandemic. And the third area is the area around development. How are sector departments contributing to unlocking growth, creating economic opportunities, creating job opportunities in that area? And part of their role also is unlocking some of the challenges that might require national departments and so on. In addition to the terms of reference, we also developed a reporting template, which must guide them after the visits and engagements. There's a report which must then be produced, which reflects the work that each champion is doing, working with the provincial champions. We have been receiving reports. I must say there's unevenness also, Chair, at this level. There are districts that still have not been touched, and we had discussions actually this week on Monday with the presidency, the officials in the presidency, on how they can assist us to actually deal with this area. So there's those political champions that have not gone out, but also the issue of reporting, because there's no consistency in terms of reporting. We hear sometimes after the visits that the political champion has engaged with district. So we want to stabilize that area and show that the terms of reference, the reporting template is utilized. But critically, the work that is done in the development of the One Plans, the champions are critically involved in also contributing to that process, but also ensuring that they assist those local the districts if there are any challenges that requires national intervention. So these documents were shared with all the champions, Chair. They were shared with all the champions. We on the issue, Chair, that you raised previously, the Chair requested us to prepare actually a report on the previous local government programs. We did submit that. I think we are ready to present any time in terms of the previous programs from Project Consolidate, Sienza Manje, and all of them up until back to basics. There is a presentation. In fact, we submitted a detailed report to the committee, but We are ready to come and present if given the time, Chair. I think I've the issue of the IGR structures, Chair, the lessons from the government response to COVID has actually demonstrated that these IGR structures, for the first time, have been really active, and they've proven to be critical sort of platforms for coordination, starting with the district IGR structures. In terms of how the command councils at the district level, they've been very active in coordinating the COVID response, but also ensuring that all the different stakeholders are involved in that space. The provincial structures and then nationally also PCC, it has met, usually PCC in terms of the law, they usually meet four times per year, but with the COVID, there have been so many meetings of the PCC, regular interactions between the president and the premiers. The min-mags have also been very active. So we are building on those structures to strengthen the coordination overall in terms of the rollout of the DDR, particularly to build capacity at the district level, technical capacity, because the implementation capability, it sits at that level to ensure that we, as the state pulls together, we build the institutional capability for this district to discharge their responsibilities, recognizing that the sectors must provide clear commitments, budget and programs commitments on the issues that the honorable members are raising. So these programs must be tracked and assessed against the impact they are making into these communities, because the profiles already give us an extent of these challenges, unemployment, poverty, child-headed households, women-headed households, and what services they are receiving. So if government programs are to make a difference, we must measure them against concretely in a particular district. How are these programs changing the conditions? So I agree fully with that. I think we appreciate the inputs that the honorable members are making, are really assisting us and insightful in terms of assisting us to strengthen our programs and our implementation approaches. Thank you very much.
Councillor Sofile, the turn is yours.
Thank you very much, Chair. And I think as an association, we really appreciate the opportunity to interact with the committee and, of course, the lead department, COFDA. And over time, we really appreciate that relationship and gaps that were existing in the past are beginning to close down. You will be really concerned, the Chair, because up until today, 20 years into local government system, you have came up with number of interventions. If you count them, there are about 7 interventions, names of the intervention, presidential project, and many, many others. And you will recall that there was an operational clean audit, municipal operational clean audit at some time. And then that is why then you will have these issues pertaining to how possible then this one to work, whereas we are not sure about the others, how did they work? And until today, you are still experiencing serious audit challenges, whereas there was a dedicated focus on the audit outcome and many other things. So I think I understand the concerns, and I believe it's a matter that is an association on this DDM project. We always say DDM is not a panacea. It's not going to resolve all problems that we have, because it's a concept. We must put some energy to it, and we are really happy that to see that the department is trying by all means to put some energy around it, so that the weaknesses and the failures of the previous interventions that have been instituted, we learn from them,
and we master the DPM. And that is why, in our view, is that the DPM, it should not be just a concept that is located in the Air Department called Cooperative Governance and Traditional Affairs. It must be a government-driven program, and it must be owned by everyone who is in government, more in particular that those that are in executive, and account about their contribution for the success and the failures of a municipality, and cut the process of having those that are carrying a red pen and mark you fail, you pass, you fail, you pass without contributing. For instance, it is a government responsibility to see that municipalities do perform to the best of their abilities. If they have weaknesses, it is government that must try to help municipalities out of the problems that they are facing and work with the municipalities and intervene. And that is why the Constitution gives government powers to intervene when things are not working very well. The unfortunate thing, Chair, is the coordination of these matters. The way we coordinate them is a weakness of them all. And that is why in our introduction we said we really appreciate the work done by the committee. And of course, the work that COGDA over a period of time is trying to get in terms of coordinating and focusing on the weaknesses on the municipalities and how to respond as a government to municipal challenges. I think to me, it's a matter that we need to pay a particular focus in making sure that we've got functional, viable, workable municipalities that are responsive to voters. Because when these voters stand on the queue, they are not voting for a municipality. That is why, Chair, in our argument as association, it doesn't make sense when a municipality fails to perform on a grant or on an allocation, to financial allocation to a municipality, is taken to another municipality. What about the voters in that area? Are we concerned about the voters as government, not as municipalities necessary? We have seen there's a weakness, we have seen there's challenges in that municipality. How do we support and complement that municipality, that community can reach and can receive services that government committed itself to give to that municipality? So that is why, in our view, Chair, we believe we are in the right track. And yes, on the international summit, I think Gwala is on the platform. We agree on behalf of the association. We are going to send an invite to you and participate in that, because it's more about turning the status quo in the local state. If the local state is made to function, the government as a whole will function, and people of South Africa will be happy that at long last, leaders that have been elected have listened to them, and we are addressing their problems. Thank you very much, Chair. Thank you, Chair.
Yes, Honorable Stofile, my apologies. I was Councillor Stofile. I was speaking to myself, not having unmuted myself. Apologies for that. Yes, I think we can end it up here, colleagues. This should be an ongoing process from now onwards. As we've said, Salga didn't tell us, there's a case study that they can share with us. That's the question that we ask. Maybe let's give them a homework so that they can tell us if there any case study out of their constituent members who can then proudly say, this is local economic development that is at work. This is how then we've just regenerated this small town and it has boomed. This is what we need to do, like what Deputy Minister Bapela said, with the post-apartheid towns. Instead, what we see is the opposite. All those towns that were there, they are just collapsing with this new democratic dispensation. Is there anything that we can showcase to say this is what, but I think this is an engagement that we need to start to focus on. I think we've done a lot on oversight to municipalities now, but now this is the aspect that is very critical. And then how do we then bring in the program of the National House of Traditional Leaders in their development agenda? How do you also then utilize this city's network on this program, because it cuts across the sectors? So I think that's a matter that we need to progress on. On those programs, Shirin, DDG 4C is saying the report is there, is ready. We are going to schedule it. And we need time, I think maybe from morning on a Friday, so that we deal with all of them. Then we are satisfied to say this kind of intervention, and then the lesson learned from all the other programs, as Councillor Stofile said to him, they are almost seven. At least now I remembered six, then I think the other two that Councillor Stofile has also raised. I think that's where we need, because for all this to be realized, we need to start there. Because then if everybody's sitting comfortably on their corners, and the report that we saw yesterday to say this is the project related by that, but then I think our municipalities will continue to suffer. Because the issue of malls is very painful, colleagues. It's only the ones that they have that goes to the mall. What about our own rural Tulawa? Because the money that they got from social grants doesn't give them to opportunity to go to the mosque. But it's a debate for another day. Let's then just end it here. And I want to thank all of you colleagues for your active participation in this meeting. I don't know what happened to Honorable Khadebe today. Maybe he's multitasking wherever he is, but it's okay.
I'm here.
Running away.
I know
from
you are there, but you've been quiet.
He's running away from Honorable Mkhalifi.
Maybe he's writing assignment. I'm sure he's busy with assignment.
But I also think that the Mkhalifi has moved towards Mpumza, if you have not realized that. Mkhalifi has already moved to Mpumza. So I don't know. Maybe that's the reason why he has been so quiet, but I know he has been here with us. I'm just teasing you, Honorable Radel. You
no
said all those matters were straightforward, eh? That's what you said earlier. Yeah.
Yes.
To save time, it's good to also keep quiet. It works for some time. I agree with you.
No matter that's straightforward to Peggy Chair. I can tell you now, Peggy is the last person to just to say that he's busy with something else. Maybe he's got a girlfriend.
That's my point. Agiri, you have also moved yourself. So let's allow him to be what he is. Let's end this meeting, colleagues. We are meeting in the evening. It's Wednesday today. We are dealing with Mukhalakwena. Brian, I hope you took all the notes with the DM. Yeah, let's adjourn. Thanks, colleagues. Enjoy your lunch. At least today you have lunch before budget. We'll meet in Parliament and then at 7 in the evening. Thank you so much, colleagues.
Thank you, Councillor. Thank you, sir.
Don't come to Parliament with ANC regalia. Please.
Thank you. I thought you were going to say to her that thing.
Bye-bye.
Thank you so much.